Did you hear the words of it? It says, I have learned the wondrous secret of abiding in the Lord. I have found the strength and sweetness of confiding in His Word, tasted life's pure fountain. I am drinking of His blood. I have lost myself in Jesus. I am sinking into God. This is a person with the depth of an experience, isn't it? That have learned some things about how to abide in the Lord and how to stay in that abiding. And doesn't pull himself out of it, doesn't pick himself up and decide that he's going somewhere else. But this is a key to spiritual success. There is scripture, I believe in the 15th chapter of John, that says something about if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and what's going to happen. It shall be done. This is a person, when we sing this kind of a song, it says, I'm crucified with Jesus. He lives and dwells in me. I have ceased from all my struggling. 'Tis no longer I, but He. All my will is yielded to Him, and His Spirit reigns within. His precious blood each moment keeps me cleansed and free from sin. When I have ceased from all my struggling, I'm not concerned about what's in my best interest. I'm concerned about what's in the Lord's best interest. This is a song with depth. And if we can get a hold of this song, we can get a hold of a whole lot. There is a deeper place in the Lord that I believe that He would have every person in this building and every person in the world to go to. And I believe that that's what He's pointing us to. He's pointing us to, I don't want you just to have a nominal experience. I don't want you just to be able to say that you're a Christian like the general population. But I want you to have an experience that you can ask me what you will. This is ours. It's our privilege to be able to have this kind of an experience in the Lord. And of course, this is what we want to talk a little bit about today. Seems like the Lord has put on our mind very strongly a burden of prayer and to do some teaching and preaching on prayer. And so we're going to seem like the last few times that we've ministered here, we've talked about prayer, and we're going to talk about prayer again. But I wanted to bring out the point that says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will, and it shall be given unto you. I'd like for us to turn to 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to start at First Thessalonians 5:17, a very simple scripture. You can all quote it by heart. Three words: pray without ceasing. Don't stop. An Amplified Version says, be unceasing in prayer, praying perseveringly. So what that means to us is when the Lord gives us instruction like this, pray, He wants us to understand the importance of prayer. Sometimes I think that it's one of the most overlooked things that we have. We can pray when we can't do anything else. As saints of God, we are never in a victimized situation. I am never a victim. Everything that has ever happened to me or to you as a child of God, you are not victimized. The Lord has a purpose in allowing it to happen to you, and you're never just helpless or hopeless, where there is absolutely nothing that I can do about my situation, no matter how difficult the situation is, no matter how look like there is no hope in the situation. The one thing that I can do is pray. I can ask the Lord to help and to change the situation. We all have been in those kinds of places that we can ask the Lord, Lord, have mercy in this situation, and you can change the situation. We're not to give up. We're not to stop praying. Whatever it is, we are to pray without ceasing. And I believe the Lord wants us to understand if we're to do something continually, and it's just like breathing. Now, in order for me to live, I have to breathe, right? I have to breathe all the time. There are so many breaths that we have on in the course of a day, or in the course of, in order for my lungs and my body to get, our bodies to get the kind of nutrients and the oxygen that it needs. We can't stop breathing. When we stop breathing, we die, don't we? It is in the same way when you can't stop praying. Our prayer is the lifeline to God. It's our spiritual lifeline. When you stop praying, and let me tell you, we've all been in places that we feel like we've kind of minimized our prayer life sometimes. Or maybe we've gotten a little bit in a hurry. Maybe things have gotten a little bit hectic about what we're dealing with. The day is one of those days that we're running behind, and we don't pray. And we find out that things happen to us, and things happen in the contrary, that if we had actually prayed, we believe that the Lord could have done something different. And so what we've learned from those kinds of experiences is that just like I can't stop breathing, I'm going to be in trouble. I can't stop praying, I'm going to be in trouble. And prayer doesn't necessarily mean that I have to kneel down on the side of a bed or at an altar. I can make that altar anywhere that I am. I can be driving down the street. I can be riding on the bus. I can be sitting at a desk. I can be doing the work that I'm doing, but I need to be praying. I need to have a spirit of prayer in my heart at all times, all right? Are you with me on that? Okay, and so we're going to look at Jesus. I want to turn to Luke, the 11th chapter, and I want to read starting at the first verse. Luke 11, verse 1.
And it came to pass
that
as he was praying
in a certain place,
when he ceased,
one of his disciples said unto him,
Lord,
teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. He said unto them,
when ye pray,
say,
Our Father
which art in heaven,
hallowed
be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done,
as in heaven,
so in earth. Now I want to stop for a moment. Here he said,
it says here,
and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he stopped praying, when he ceased. Now, it doesn't mean that he just that he didn't pray anymore at all. What it means is that session of prayer, that prayer session was over. And what I believe that the scripture is talking about when it says pray without ceasing is that it's just like it's not, you got to eat.
Amen.
We don't eat all the time, but we have to eat every day, don't we? And when a person stops eating, as in a natural sense, that something begins to happen to their body. And so we understand to get the natural the proper nutrients, a person has to eat, but we don't snack all the time, do we? We don't eat every day, all day, every hour of the day, but we realize that when our energy is running down, we can tell when we need to take in some nutrients, we can tell when we need to eat. So what do? We go and we find something that we can eat. In order for us to continue on in doing whatever it is that we're doing, we've got to have something in our bodies that gives us power and gives us strength, and that's food. So we don't stop eating. Just like we don't stop breathing, we don't stop eating, but we don't eat all the time. So here is a session. So we had breakfast this morning, or maybe, and then we're going to have lunch or dinner. We're going to generally eat at least twice a day, maybe three times a day. But generally, we eat at least twice a day, and you know what? That's a good thing for us to do in prayer, to pray without ceasing. So this session that Jesus was praying, this session was over. So in other words, breakfast was over. And now his disciples saw that he was very diligent about his prayer life. Here is the Son of God. Here is not only the Son of God, but the Word of God that is made flesh. Here is something that's powerful that shows us as an example that we need to do what he is doing. So it shows us the very importance of prayer. Jesus himself prayed, and if he prayed, then we need to understand that we need to pray on a regular, continual basis as well. It would not hurt for us to pray at least twice a day. Now, generally speaking, we get up and we pray in the morning. We pray in the evening. But there can be a time that we can get together or just be by ourselves and pray in the middle of the day. And we can pray all day, wherever it is that we are. But I believe what the Lord wants us to understand today is prayer is of utmost importance. It is one of the most important and simplest things that we can do, but it's one of the most important things that we can do. All right? All right, so he said, teach us to pray. Now, I've given this particular passage of Scripture is not what we're going to concentrate on, but I feel like the Lord would have us bring out a few points here. Teach us to pray. Do you realize that the disciples saw that the relationship that Jesus had with his Father, that they had not seen, but they saw the Father through the Son, they realized that as they saw Jesus praying and the times that the disciples are individuals that learn the discipline of another, right? And so they saw the discipline of Jesus Christ, and they saw the importance of prayer to one that was more connected to God than any other person that has ever lived. All right? This Jesus, his disciples observing him, saw that he felt that prayer was of utmost importance because he was always doing it. And they always saw him praying. And so they realized, oh Lord, we pray also, but John taught his disciples to pray, and we believe that there is a deeper level and a deeper understanding that we can have and a greater importance that we can have to our prayer life. And so we want you, we see a need for you to teach us how to do the same thing that you're doing. And so we are following you. We are devoted to you. We are wanting to do what you do, and we are wanting to be as effective in our doing it as you are. And we realize and understand that that is going to take us, that's going to take you teaching us how to do that. And so in the same way, have you ever asked the Lord, Lord, teach me to pray? Teach me how to pray more effective and more effectual. This is what we learned about in the previous Sundays. But I believe the Lord would have us to understand that prayer is one of the greatest and most important things that you and I can ever do. Don't ever stop. So teach us how to pray. Teach us how to be more effective in our prayer life, and how when we are praying that we can hit the mark. We hit just where we need to hit. That we have our own spirits and our own lives in the right kind of condition so that when we pray, our prayers will have the right kind of results. When Jesus prayed for something, no matter what it was, no matter how difficult it was, something moved. He moved heaven. And do you realize that he left us an example? And the example that he left you and I was that if we pray and he teaches us to pray just like he does, then we can move heaven as well. All right? So, what did he say? He says here, our Father, which art in heaven. Now, I'm not going to go through this, but there is maybe at some point the Lord would have me to give the lesson on this prayer. He says, our Father, and I think I preached it in several other places, but our Father is not just somebody else's Father, but it's my Father as well. Your Father. My Father. All of us have a parent. And you know, when we're children, we jump on our father's knee and we have some kind of relationship with him. So that tells us that my Father, I can get my Father to do a lot of things that I can't get your Father to do. Or a child can get his father to do things that he can't do. But I think there are a few points that I think I want to point out here. So he brings this out, but I'm not going to deal so much on that. One of the things he brings out is his name. All right? The importance of his, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, his will. So we have to understand that the importance of the name of Jesus that we call out in prayer, how important that name is. That name is of utmost importance as we're praying, as we're seeking the Lord about the things that we need. Hallowed be thy name. There is a reason for that. And the Lord wants us to have a deeper understanding of the reason, because that name identifies who Jesus Christ really is. Who he is to me. Who he is to the relationship that he has in every other, all of his creation. So these are things that are important that we must be taught. And this is what I want us to understand today, is that the Lord wants to teach us how to pray. Lord, teach me how to pray. If it's of that great importance, we need to take these kinds of lessons and we need to ask the Lord, Lord, help me to understand the importance of prayer and teach me how to have a more effectual prayer life. Not just a more effectual prayer for this time, but Lord, I want to have a more effectual prayer life. We're going to face some things. All of us are going to face some things in our journey. Some things that we don't quite understand. Some things that don't quite make a lot of sense to us, but we need the Lord to help us in them. So how do we do that? How do we get the help that we need? By asking the Lord, Lord, teach me how to pray about this particular matter in my life. Teach me how to pray about my husband. Teach me how to pray about my wife. Teach me how to pray about my children. And Lord, when we do that, Lord, I want you to help me. So that I'm in a place that I can pray in the way that you would have me to. All right, let's go a little further here. Let's go to Mark 1 and 35. Might read that. Mark 1 and 35.
In the morning.
Rising up a great while before day.
He went out.
Departed into a solitary place.
And there
he prayed. Who is it talking about? It's talking about Jesus here, isn't it? Rising up when? A great while before morning. Now, why do you suppose that's of great importance? He rose up a great while before morning. He went into a solitary place and he began to pray. That's his morning prayer. And so, I think sometimes the Lord would have you and I to pray when there are no distractions. The phone is not going to ring at 3 o'clock, generally speaking, unless it's something you need to be praying about at 3 o'clock in the morning. But if you decide you're going to get all your sleep and about 9 and 10, everybody starts calling you, and there are a lot of distractions, isn't it? But so Jesus left us an example that there are times that the situation merits. Maybe he wakes you up. Maybe you can't go back to sleep. Have you ever done that? Have you ever woken up in the middle of the night and it seemed like you just lay there? Do you know? Start praying. Start asking the Lord, Lord, everything that comes to your mind, start praying about it and asking the Lord to have mercy and help in those situations. Maybe that's the reason that the Lord allows you to wake up sometimes like that, is because he says there are some things that need to be prayed about right now, and I want you to be in a position to be praying about those things. All right? So that's important. And so let's say that if we didn't pray about the things that the Lord lays on our heart, the Spirit brings those things to our minds. It says in Romans, it says, we don't know what to pray for as we ought to pray. But the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Do you realize that sometimes we don't even have any understanding of what we need to be praying for? But the Holy Ghost brings to our mind, I want you to pray about somebody. Maybe somebody you haven't even thought about for the last 30 years. Or the last several months. The Lord's brought folks to my mind that I hadn't seen for 30 years, high school friends and whatnot. And you begin to pray for them. You don't know what the situation is. And you may not ever know. You may not know until you get to the other side. But I pray for their salvation. Has the Lord ever put on your mind as you're driving down the street to pray for the person in the car next to you? Or when you're sitting in an airplane and praying for the whole the pilots and every, not just the pilots, for your safety, but for everybody. You don't know what the situation is that they're dealing with. Pray for them.
Amen.
All right, so Jesus got up a great while before day, and he went out someplace and he prayed. Now, I want us to understand again that this is the Son of God. This is not just some disciple or some follower of Christ. This is Christ himself, who realized a need to pray.
Amen.
And saints of God, if he realized a need to pray, how much more should we realize it? How much more important is it for us to rise up early and pray? Okay? Luke 6. And let's go to the 12th chapter. Talking about Jesus here and just seeing the examples of the Lord.
Luke 6 and verse 12.
Yes.
And it came to pass
in those days
that he went out into a mountain to pray.
He went out into a mountain. Now, I want you to notice something. These scriptures are finding Jesus in a solitary place. In a place that just is just him and God. It's just a place that nobody else is around. He goes into a mountain to pray. Read.
And continued
he continued all night
in prayer
to God.
And when it was day,
he called unto his disciples. Of them he chose 12, who is also named apostles. Now, he continued all night in prayer. I haven't done that yet. I've prayed long times. I've prayed for hours, but I haven't prayed all night. But I've heard of ministers praying all night. Lord, help us. Maybe some of you have. But Jesus prayed all night. First, he gets up early in the morning. And now here is a night prayer because there is some connection that he feels like he needs with the Father. And maybe there is some great trial that you're facing or some problem that you are dealing with that you need to be alone with God for several hours. And you need the Lord to help you. This is not a time for you to go to sleep. I know how it is to kneel beside your bed and you're weary from the day's toils and whatnot, and you start praying and you fall asleep. Probably all of us have experienced that. But there comes some time in our experience that the things are so grave that we're looking at and the situations are so bleak, and we need the Lord to help us in such a great way that we dare not go to sleep. So he continued there. No doubt he was tired. No doubt he was worn, carrying the burdens of the day and whatnot. But he realized, I need to go and I need to rejuvenate. I need to recharge, you might say. There was one place that the Lord said, in one place. Let's see. I've got that here. Let's go to Luke 5. In verse 15. Let's read that. Pray for us.
But so much the more.
So much the more.
Went there a fame abroad of him.
Went there a fame abroad of him.
And great multitudes came together to hear.
Great multitudes came together to hear.
And to be healed by him.
And to be healed by him.
Of their infirmities.
Of their infirmities.
And he withdrew himself.
And he withdrew himself.
Into the wilderness.
Into the wilderness.
And prayed.
Now, all these folks came together. There was this crowd that was around the Lord, and they were all needing something of him. They wanted to be healed of their infirmities. And it says, fame abroad there of, but as so much that went a fame there abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. So what happened here is there was a prayer that the Lord was giving. He was praying here. This person was sick. This person was sick. This person was sick. And I believe that when you're praying, when there is a prayer, and there is this connection, there is something that goes out of you. There's one place that he says, this woman touched him. She had an issue of blood. Remember that place?
Yes.
She had an issue of blood, and she was in the throng, and when she reached out and touched him in faith, believing that God was able to do anything. This is the God that we're praying to, saints. We're praying to a God that is able to do anything. Whatever it is that you're dealing with, God Himself is able to do that. Alright? And so this woman touched him, touched the hem of his garment, and what did he say? Who touched me? Their virtue came out of me. Now I believe that what that meant is there was healing virtue that came out of Christ and into this woman. Now, in my mind, if you'll allow me the license to say this, in my mind, I believe that every time he healed someone, something went out of him, and that's why he had to withdraw himself and go recharge off of like we do our cell phones. We get to using them, and the light, the screen gets on, and something goes out of them. And then we have to recharge that, and there has to be some time that we can't talk without it being plugged into the source. So I believe that God Himself is the source, and Jesus was wanting to leave you and I an example of saying, whatever it is that you're doing, whatever burden that you're going through, whatever problem that you're facing, every time you pray about that, there is something in essence that goes out of you. Let me tell you, there is labor in prayer. It is not the easiest thing when we get down to the point of really praying. It's not easy. Something goes out of us, and we have to go and find, when we're praying for burdens and trials and whatnot, we also have to pray that the Lord, give me the strength that I need to be able to stand in the midst of all of this. When you're going through trials, do you realize the trials take something out of you? When you're going through temptations, do you realize to resist that temptation, it takes strength, and you need the strength and the power of God? And how do we get the strength and the power to resist temptation? Pray that you enter not into temptation. So we have to pray. That's important. When you're in a trial, when you're in a test, when you're being tempted in a certain way, what do? We pray. We ask the Lord, give me what I need to be able to stand this test. And you know what the Lord does? The Lord gives it to you. He gives it to you. All right? All right, we'll go a little further. Now, Luke 9, verse 18. Did we already read that one? I don't think so. And someone get Matthew 6 and verse 5.
Luke 9, verse 18.
Yes.
And it came to pass
came to pass. Yes.
His disciples were with him.
And he asked them, saying,
Okay,
came to pass he was alone. Now, he was alone in prayer. This is what I want us to understand, because this is basically the... It's good for us to get together in prayer meetings. I think prayer meetings are vital. I think it's a time that we come together as a group of people and we're able to pray about certain things. I believe that there's power in corporate prayer. I believe that there are some things that we can't get done any other way but in having an agreement. So the Lord tells us in many places, one can chase 1,000, two can put 10,000 to flight, that gives us the understanding of the power of an agreement of prayer. If you can agree on earth as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them of our Father which is in heaven. So there has to be an agreement of two people, but we have to get ourselves in a place that we can bear that agreement, that we can have an agreement. Lord, help us. I think that's very important. And I believe that this is one of the reasons that we have to say, I believe every person here has the potential and has been offended by someone. And we can't allow offenses to break an agreement. I don't care who you are. You can be the sweetest person on the face of the earth, but you get in close proximity with someone else whose personality is not quite like yours, you're going to rub each other the wrong way. Iron is going to sharpen iron. And so what we're going to find ourselves in is maybe in some situations from time to time where we feel like maybe someone has mistreated us or they've done something against us that they shouldn't have done. I've been there. You've been there. All of us have been there. It happens with husbands and wives. It happens with friends. It happens with relatives. It happens. We cannot allow those things to break our agreement. Because an agreement is important. And so really what we have to do, so we understand the importance of that. But let me tell you what I believe that we really need to do. We really need to go into our little secret closet. What does it say in Matthew 6 and 5? Let's read that in conjunction with this. When you pray, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when you pray, you go into your closet, and when you shut the door, you pray to your Father, which is in secret, and your Father, which is in secret, He shall reward you openly. All right, so what he says here, and this is what I want us to get a hold of, when it comes time for you and I to really do business with the Lord, there are times that we don't need anybody there. We need to go into a private place, we need to close the door, and we need to deal with God, just me and God. Just you and God. Because there are some things about what we go through that we need the Lord that we don't want to tell anybody. That everybody doesn't need to know. Discretion tells them that, Lord, this is what I'm dealing with, my fears. There are some things I'm afraid of. I don't want to tell anybody that. Amen. There are some things that I'm tempted by. I don't want to tell anybody that, Lord. But Lord, I want to tell you and I want to be as honest. There are some times that we need to be as honest and open and we need to lay it all out at the altar and it's just me and God. He's the only one that's with me. I don't want anybody else to know. And the Lord says, I don't want anybody else to know. So I go into my closet. There is a reason for this and I'm doing business with me. And I'm wanting the Lord, Lord, there are things about my character, there are flaws, there are things that just I know about, there are things that maybe just me and another person knows about, there are other things that I need you to help me and change me and make me a new creature from this situation. I'm not talking about necessarily things that are sinful, but things that can ultimately lead, there is this little fault, you might say, just like an earthquake, and it can lead to something if you don't do something for me now. And now that's in my closet. That's just me and God. And I'm just alone and I can be as open and honest and I don't have to be pretentious and I don't have to say the right words so they won't get the wrong idea. It's just me and Him. He already knows me anyway. And so it's important for you and me at times in our lives to go in our secret closet and close the door and just us do business. Just me and the Lord. Just you and the Lord. Lord, this is where I am. You see this is where I am. Maybe everybody around me sees me different, but Lord, you know my heart.
And when I'm honest with myself, and I can be as honest with God as I can just be honest with Him. Period. And I go to Him and I say, Lord, have mercy on me. If You don't change this about me, it can't be changed. And what does He do? He changes it. He gives you something. He gives you an understanding. And He gives you, and this, let me tell you, sometimes that takes more than a 15-minute prayer. So Jesus went into the mountains and He prayed. How long did He pray? All night. All night long. Let me tell you, I believe, and let me tell you, I think that there are times that the Lord is going to call for us to pray all night long. Lord, help us to be willing to do it about some things in our lives that need to be uprooted and pulled out. And it's going to take something. It's going to take more than just a little 15 or 20 minute prayer. It's going to take more than coming to the altar. I'm not against that. But do you know what the altar is? The altar is just the start. That I got the help that I needed, but it sent me on the right path. Oftentimes. But there is a greater level, a part of the journey that I have to go by myself. The person there that's giving me instruction for the 15 minutes, maybe the hour that I'm down at an altar of prayer and seeking direction, they just give me direction, but there is a place that I've got to go by myself. And let me tell you, everywhere I go, Jesus can go with me. I may not be as the pastor, I may not be able to go with you. I may not be able to understand. There are things that I don't understand that God fully understands about you. There are things about yourself that you don't understand that God understands. So what do we need? We need the Lord to help us and to have mercy on us. And we need to be in a place where we can say, Lord, by Your grace, I'm going to pray if this takes me all night. I'm going to get this. If this is whatever it takes, it's what I'm willing to do. All right, let's go to Genesis. Familiar text. Genesis 32, 24. Read it if you have it. Let's start maybe 32, let's say 24.
Well, first of all, let's just back up. 20.
And say, moreover?
Yes.
Behold.
Thy servant Jacob is behind us. He said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before him, me. And afterwards, I will see his face. Peradventure, he will accept of me. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. He rose up that night. He took his two wives, his two women servants, and his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook, and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled with him. A man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day.
When he saw that he prevailed
not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? He said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and you have prevailed. All right, that's good enough. Now Jacob was in trouble. Jacob had a twin brother, a brother that he had a good relationship with for a time being. But now, there, after 20 years, there had been a 20-year feud between Jacob and Esau because Jacob sold his birthright. But you know what? It was Esau's fault that Jacob bought Esau's birthright. He stole it, in essence. But Jacob, in essence, Esau, in essence, sold it for a bowl of something, a bowl of pottage, something that was just temporary. He sold something that was far more valuable. This is what the sister was talking about. Buy the truth and don't sell it. It is something that is of utmost importance that you can buy this. And let me tell you, the devil is going to present something to you to sell the truth. Don't do it. Buy it
and don't sell it. It costs you something, and it's going to cost you something to hold on to it. Now, here is the situation that Jacob was going to meet Esau, and he thought he'd send these gifts over before him, and Esau didn't want any of the gifts. I don't want what you have, brother. And he told his servants to go in and do it, and then he realized he didn't want it, and then he said, I'm in trouble. Jacob realized, I'm in trouble. You know, sometimes we'll come to places in our experience that we realize it's going to take more than what my little mind is. It's going to take the Lord to do something.
Right.
I'm not going to be able to bring about this reconciliation between me and my brother by sending him gifts and by giving him things and by doing what I think I would want somebody to do to me. That's not going to work. Have you been in situations like that? And the more you did, the worse it got. I have. And so you realize, you come to the realization that, Lord, it's not going to be me sending gifts to my brother. It is going to be me praying this thing through. This is the importance of prayer. And so what Jacob realized, he said, all right, I'm going to take my wife. He didn't say, let's have a prayer meeting, saints. He didn't say, Rachel, let's get together, all my family, and let's just pray. Pray it down and pray until the Lord hears us. That ain't what he's saying. This is some things that we have to understand. You know how that scripture says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities? Do you realize that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but sometimes the things that we wrestle with is of our own doings? It's not flesh and blood. It's a monster of my own making. I did this. I shouldn't have done it, but I did it. And so here is Jacob, and we won't go all into the story. Most of you know it. We won't go all into the story, but here is a story of Jacob. And Jacob is realizing that Esau is going to come with 400 men, and he's going to kill me unless I do something different. So he was alone with the Lord, and there wrestled with him. He was wrestling with himself. He was wrestling with who he is. He was wrestling with ideas and philosophies. And this is what we wrestle against sometimes, saints. Sometimes the enemy implants something in our mind and we don't know what to do with it. Let me tell you, everything that is presented to you, you have to deal with it in some kind of a way. And there are times that we have these things that it looks like it's truth. It looks like it's mostly truth. And as I'm dealing with this, I don't know what to do with it. So we have to find some place to wrestle. Because what we find in the midst of that is that there oftentimes there are infirmities in me, in us, that the enemy can exploit. And if we are not careful, what we will actually be doing is opening ourselves up to something that we need the Lord to show us. Lord, show me right. Show me. Make the distinction for me. Have you ever been in a place like that? I have. And so what do we do? Do we go to somebody that we have confidence in or people that think like we do? Or do we go to the Lord? We go to the Lord and we say, Lord, make the distinction for me. Give me the distinguishing factors here, and we wrestle with that. It's not flesh and blood.
Amen.
I know what that scripture is talking about, but I want you to get a hold of this. It's not this is not flesh and blood that he's wrestling with either. He said, an angel wrestled with him until the breaking of the day, and he said, I'm not going to let you loose because I realize that there is something that I need. It's me. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Do you know Jacob didn't talk about Esau? Esau had plenty of faults and problems and all these kinds of issues, but Jacob didn't talk about Esau. Jacob talked about Jacob.
Yeah.
Lord, you can't. I can't let you go. I can't. I've got to hold on to you. And he said, he touched the hollow of his thigh and he said, it doesn't matter. He was out of joint as he wrestled with him. He said, let me go for the day break. And he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. I need a blessing, Lord. And sometimes it's not going to come about with just 30 minutes of prayer. It is until the breaking of the day, Lord, I've got to have something. You've got to change me here, Lord. You've got to give me a blessing. You've got to lay your hand on me and you've got to bless me. And you know what the Lord will do every time when you get to that point? That no matter how much pain that you're suffering, no matter what it is, much discomfort and what a inconvenience that you're going through, Lord, I must be blessed.
Amen.
All right, Lord, help us. So he blessed him. He said, what is your name? And you suppose he didn't know his name? He was up there wrestling with this man and he didn't know what his name was? How did he get to him in the first place? What is he doing wrestling with him? He knew his name. But you know what? I don't have that with me, but if you look at the Amplified version, it's an excellent Somebody have an Amplified Bible? Okay, you don't. But let me say what it says. It says that he came to his senses all of a sudden when he called the name Jacob. Have you ever noticed that somebody call your name and you see things a little bit different than the way that you've seen it before? And he realized that he was a deceiver. He realized some things about his name. He was a deceiver. A supplanter. This was a man that wasn't on the up and up. He deceived. He realized all of a sudden that I have the problem. It's not about him, it's about me. And you know what I've seen in many, many situations where there is issues between two people, whoever those people may be, when you come to the realization of who you are and how you're contributing to the problem, then the Lord generally resolves the problem. You get that? And when you come to the realization that Jacob did, he came to the realization that it was an epiphany, that he had this understanding that he had never seen himself like this before, like what Jacob means, I'm a deceiver, I'm a supplanter, I'm an underhanded guy, I do things the way that I shouldn't do them. When he had that epiphany, then things changed in his mind. He says, you're not going to be Jacob anymore, but Jacob came to that realization.
Yes, Lord.
And he said, you're not going to be Jacob anymore, but you're going to be Israel. He's changing it completely because Jacob found himself, he acknowledged who he was.
Lord.
You have it, Sister Ava?
And he said, let me go, for the day is breaking.
The day is breaking.
But Jacob said, I will not let you go.
Unless you declare a blessing unto me. You ask him, what's your name?
In shock of realization.
This is what I want to say. In a shock of realization, before he even said his name, there was a shock. The Lord opened up his understanding. You have a problem, Jacob. And you see why Jacob needed to be by himself. Did you want the Lord to tell everybody that? Some things you just want the Lord to tell you. Now we can tell the story afterward, but it was such a shock and an embarrassment to Jacob that this is the kind of a person that this is really who I am. This is really how you see me. This is really how the Lord opens up our understanding and shows us a shock of realization.
Whispering.
Jacob. I don't want nobody to know this. I'm not going to say it aloud. Jacob. I'm Jacob. This is who I am. That's not what he said, is it? Is it? Jacob. A supplanter. What?
Schemer.
Trickster.
Swindler.
Oh, how would you like for somebody, we come to a prayer meeting and all of a sudden somebody gets up and prophesies that you're a swindler, brother. You're a trickster, you're a schemer, you're all these things. We don't want that, do we? But we don't mind it if the Lord is just me and the Lord in the closet, do we? Well, Lord, that hurts. Do you suppose it hurt Jacob's feelings? Yeah, it hurt his feelings, no doubt. But he realized, the Lord, that's who I am, that's what I am. Have mercy on me. He said, whispering. I don't even want nobody to know my name. I don't want to call it out loud. I'm just going to... Jacob. Swindler. Trickster. Schemer. Supplanter. What else?
That was before.
Okay.
And he said, your name shall be called no more Jacob, supplanter. No.
But Israel.
Contender with God.
Because you're a contender with God. Because
you have contended and have power with God.
You have power with God.
And with men.
And prevailed. You know who he prevailed over, though? He prevailed over Jacob.
Amen.
Let me tell you, the hardest person that you'll ever fight.
Amen, Lord.
The hardest person that you'll ever conquer. And the hardest person, the toughest opponent you'll ever have is you.
Lord.
And you know what I see happen? I see husbands trying to make wives do what they ought to do according to the Scripture. Maybe they ought to do it. But let me tell you, you get to doing what you're supposed to do, it'll change her. And I've seen wives try to get husbands to do what they need to do. But you know what? You change you, it'll change him. Now let's read that. Because the next one, you know what? You've heard me preach about it before, but this is good to me. All right, let's see. Okay, let's finish reading down through. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved.
And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinews which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. And Jacob lifted up his eyes, the 33rd chapter, first verse. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And this man was coming to kill him. All right? 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost. Leah and her children after. Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground seven times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him. And they wept. Now you see what prayer will do? This man prayed all night. It was either death or pray all night. You get come in and get killed because you were no match to this man. He had a grudge against you for 20 years ago. Maybe a legitimate grudge. I don't know. Depends on which perspective you're looking at it from. He had a legitimate grudge from him 20 years ago, but you don't hold on something for 20 years. Lord help us. The Lord has the ability to give for you to give up something after 20 minutes. All right? But this is what happened, saints. The man that was coming to kill him, the Lord changed his heart. Because this man humbled himself in prayer. And the Lord did a work for him. Do you know if we humble ourselves in prayer, the Lord will do a work for us. And this is why it's important for us. And I want us to get a hold of this. This is why it's important for us to be alone in prayer. Esau ran to meet his brother. And they fell on their face, they hugged each other, and they wept. You know, as I've said from time to time, as I brought out this passage, they didn't have a round table discussion, did they? They didn't discuss the things that this person did to offend me. This is a person, these men were one. They were in the womb at the same time. They were born together. They were in a relationship as little boys, as men, had the same parents. Had a lot in common. But something came in and tore them apart because of their personalities. Lord help us. This is true. Are y'all with me so far? And when one of them prayed, the Lord changed him and the other one. Lord help us. All right, we're going to move toward our conclusion. We appreciate your patience. Let's go to Luke 22:41. Read 41:42. Okay. Now, the point that I want us to get a hold of today, if you don't get a hold of anything else, that these people that we're talking about and we're discussing, these people were going, and it was a private prayer matter. Even though Jesus wanted somebody, the disciples to come and pray with him, pray for him, it was a private matter between him and the Father. There were some things that he was wrestling with. He had the same issues that you and I had. What are those issues? Flesh. He had the flesh to contend with. All right, read. He was withdrawn about a stone's cast. He kneeled and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And then in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And he rose up from prayer, was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, Why sleep ye? Arise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. All right, so here is Jesus. That is what I believe the Lord wants to show in this scripture. There are some times that we come to places that we have to, like Jacob and like Jesus, have to wrestle in prayer about a particular matter.
And we need to be in a place that we're willing, Lord, whatever it takes. If it takes me praying all night, if it takes me praying for several hours, there is an importance of me being in a place that I'm alone. And it's just me and the Lord. He's just talking to me and I'm talking to Him. I'm being real honest about it. I'm opening myself up and I'm making myself as vulnerable as I possibly can. Because you know what? The Lord already knows where you are. He already knows your vulnerability. He always knows your deficiency. He already knows your deficiencies. He already knows your character flaws and faults and all this kind of thing. Maybe everybody else doesn't know, and if you laid it out as plain to everybody else as you did to the Lord, they'd have a different view of you. Well, this is why you go into your prayer closet, you close the door, but saints, let us pray. Let us seek the Lord. I was in a situation yesterday, I had a bad toothache, and I had a toothache, and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you can do this. And you know, and I was praying, and you know how the enemy brings to your mind, oh, it's going to be this, and it's going to be that. And you know what the Lord did? He just took it completely away. Just like that. And you know what? That was because of prayer. Not because I'm so this or so that. But you know what? Let me say this, saints. We've got to believe. We've got to trust the Lord. We've got to understand that prayer is important. And when you pray, what does the Scripture say? When you stand praying, believe. Believe, forgive, and believe. Whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. May the Lord help us. My desire is for us to get a hold of the importance of prayer even more, and where we may have to wrestle in prayer. Get along with the Lord and wrestle in prayer. Pray for me.